This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
I wanted to talk to you all about the theme of overwhelm. Feels like it's very prevalent in this day and age. And we're going to not just talk about overwhelm, but we're going to also talk about how we can anchor into our values as a way to help us navigate through some of that overwhelm. And I was smiling to myself in the break because I was like, oh, everybody's, you know, saying they're relaxed and at peace right now. And now we get to talk about overwhelm. So I hope my intention is that this exploration of overwhelm from this more grounded, open-hearted, peaceful, relaxed place actually can give us some more access to understand overwhelm. Because when we're overwhelmed, when we're stressed, when we're anxious, when our system is activated, it can be a lot harder to actually get curious. So being in this calm, connected, grounding state actually has opportunity to give us more access to get curious about our experience when it comes to overwhelm. So a little bit about me, just to kind of share my background and where I'm coming from within this topic. I got into the practice of meditation when I was 21. I had dabbled into it a little earlier when I was in college, but I experienced what I call a life interruption when I was 21 years old. I was studying abroad in Buenos Aires, Argentina, you know, having the best time of my life. And until one day I found a swollen lymph node on the right side of my neck. And after various doctor's appointments and, you know, doctor appointments in Spanglish, navigating the language, I was stopped dead in my tracks with the words, "You have cancer." And so within less than 24 hours, I was flying back home to New York City to begin 6 months of chemotherapy. And I remember sitting in the doctor's office room in New York City, waiting to get a bone marrow test so I could determine what stage of cancer I was in. And I felt so much overwhelm, right? The ground was shaking, my legs were wobbly, the New York City honking noise, taxis outside just like felt so overstimulating. And in that moment, I remember turning to my mother who was sitting next to me at the time and saying, "Mom, I want to start meditating," because I knew I needed something to help keep me anchored, to help keep me grounded amid all of the chaos, all of the overwhelm that was swirling around and inside of me. And from that moment, I really started to deepen my practice. You know, I grabbed a pillow off of the couch, popped a squat on the ground, and would start meditating, start, you know, 1 minute next day, 1 minute next day, maybe 2 minutes, right? Slowly building my practice. And I look back on my experience of going through chemo, and I always say that meditation was the best medicine that I could have taken, that helped me manage the overwhelm, the chaos, the instability, the uncertainty of it all. And that's really what has driven me to become a meditation teacher and to get my coaching certification, and motivates me to help other people find some calm, find some stability amid the chaos that they're navigating in their own life. And I share this story because after working with individuals in my practice for over a decade, I started to notice that there are six different types of kind of what I call overwhelm archetypes that people experience. And I think that we have all of these types inside of us. And I think that depending on where we are in life, we're primed to really respond primarily through one lens. We might notice we resonate with all six, especially in different circumstances, but I would say we have a go-to overwhelm state. And so I want to share with you these six different types. If you feel inspired, I can put in the chat at the end of our session today a quiz that you can take if you're interested. But there's six different types, and I think the more that we can notice these types of overwhelm archetypes that show up in our life, the more we can bring our mindfulness practice to them, right? And recognize, this is this type of overwhelm showing up right now, the more that we can learn how to skillfully navigate with it. And I'm going to a little later share with us a values practice that we can do that can really help us anchor into navigating overwhelm, whatever type that we have, whatever overwhelm archetype we're experiencing. And so I'll share with you the six, and I welcome you to pay attention and note, like, which one feels like it resonates for you the most, okay? And so they're all kind of also meant to be, they're not absolutes, right? This isn't like boxing people in, but this is starting to be a helpful way to kind of notice our tendencies, to notice our impulses, so that we can start to name it. And when we can name something, we have an ability to be able to tame it. So the first type that I'll mention of the overwhelm archetypes is the controller. And this is my default. This is where I go when life gets overwhelming. So the controller is typically somebody who copes with overwhelm by trying to manage, by trying to plan, by trying to perfect everything. This type of person craves certainty and efficiency. And when life feels unpredictable, the nervous system goes into overdrive. Control gives a false sense of safety, yet it can also disconnect you from flow, trust, and ease. So I welcome you to just pause and notice, like, does the controller resonate for you? You know, where do you feel this tendency that when life gets overwhelming, when there's too much going on, that there's a tendency to want to grip a little tighter? There's a tendency to want to overplan, over control. This for me happens a lot in life. And I notice when I feel overwhelmed, when there's ambiguity, I like to double down on planning. I think if I can plan my day to the T, or if I can plan what my husband's gonna do, or if I can plan, you know, every meal for the next few days, right, that things are gonna be okay. And so noticing these tendencies has been really helpful for me in my own practice to just note, am I putting my energy on the gripping, on the controlling of what's going on? And when I can notice that impulse and how it might feel in my body, it gives me this invitation to also soften, this choice point to choose, you know, do I want to keep controlling, or can I let go and rest into trust? Can I let go and rest into some more flow? Can I let go and rest into some ease in this situation? So that's the controller. The pusher is another name of an archetype. The pusher is somebody who tends to power through when they experience stress and overwhelm, right? So when you experience stress and overwhelm, there's this sense of, I need to keep doing more, I need to push. And productivity makes you feel worthy and in control. It also keeps you trapped in a cycle of burnout because there's never enough done. You can always do more, and you got to keep pushing until it's complete. You often override your body's signals for rest or play. So the pusher tends to be somebody who is a workaholic, who loves to dig in deeper, who is always like the list is never ending, it's never enough, who feels constantly like they wake up in the morning feeling behind and go to bed at the end of the day feeling like they never did enough. And so each day kind of feels like they're pushing to get everything done. There's not enough time to slow down, to rest, to know that rest is actually productive, that slowing down can actually be a skill and a helpful way to create more clarity and impact. So that tends to be the pusher archetype. The third one I call the spinner. So this is somebody whose mind gets trapped a lot in analysis paralysis. Their mind moves fast, their mind moves, a mile a minute. You like to think in every angle and really kind of get nuanced and replay conversations back and forth, and you try to solve the problems before they even exist. And you're someone who's like kind of very analytical, but also strategic in the mind. And so there's a lot of overthinking that happens, a lot of spinning, right, that happens in the mind. It can also lead to a lot of rumination in the mind. And this overthinking gives the illusion of control, but leaves you feeling stuck, leaves you feeling exhausted, leaves you feeling like again, you're kind of not doing enough. So it can be helpful when there's a spinner to recognize that you can drop actually into the body, that there's more to you than just the mind, and that we can use the body as an anchor to get grounded into the present moment, to trust your intuition, to practice resting into your intuition instead of the over analytical thought loops that you can get trapped into. So that's the spinner. So the next one is called the drifter. And this tends to be somebody who floats through life feeling, floats through life when, especially when feeling overwhelmed. That there's like an avoidance of structure and decision, right? You can imagine like a drifter, like something is just drifting in the water. It doesn't really have a clear path. They don't really know where to go. They prefer to go with the flow. And sometimes that gets them into trouble because it means they lose their own direction. They lose their own sense of purpose because they're going with this flow of overwhelm, that they're kind of getting lost in the winds, the sauce of life. They're not anchored into their own meaning. So the growth edge with the drifter is to build some structure, to build some clarity so that they can go through life with a little bit of more supportive boundaries, a little bit more support, so that they can navigate the overwhelm, but still feeling in the container of their own mind and body. They're anchored into more purpose and direction. The avoider, kind of explanatory in just the name, right, is somebody who shuts down really easily when they feel overwhelmed. Right? When life feels too heavy or uncomfortable, they can shut down. They want to distract. They want to numb. This might be, scrolling or over snacking or staying really busy to avoid the discomfort, right? So they don't actually have to feel. If they're always busy doing something, they're not really connected to what they're feeling. Yet this person, the avoider, overwhelm archetype really craves peace, yet they feel disconnected from a deeper peace within their own sense of presence. And their growth edge is to face the uncomfortableness with compassion, with breath, with courage, discovering that they can actually handle more than they think they can. Typically when we avoid something, it's from a lot of fear, from a lot of overwhelm. But when they touch into it, they recognize, oh, there is capacity for me to face this. This is not as scary as my mind made it seem. And then there is the giver, the overgiver. And this is somebody who tends to pour a lot of their energy into others. And not just pouring their energy into others, but it's typically at the expense of their own energy, their own well-being. So the overgiver tends to feel responsible for everybody's happiness and harmony, yet they can feel resentment or depletion can build a sense of, can build underneath. And so their growth edge is to honor their own needs, to set their own boundaries, and to give them a place where they can feel seen and taken care of while also caring for others, to recognize that their needs also matter. So those are the six types. And I'd love to just hear, you know, maybe you took some notes, maybe you were just listening and noting kind of what came up for you in your body while you heard these six different types. And again, maybe you were like, oh, I see myself in all of these. But I'm curious, by sharing in the chat, which one to you feels like, oh, that's my default. When I experience a lot of stress and overwhelm, this is where I tend to go. The controller. You're in good company. Thank you, Melinda. The pusher, the spinner, avoider, yeah. Avoider, spinner, pusher, and pusher, Great. And so I welcome you, as you're just even like naming that, to jot down some notes for yourself if you haven't already about where do you feel this is the most present for you in life right now? So where do you notice the sense of overwhelm archetype is showing up the most for you right now? Maybe it's at work and it's a certain project. Maybe your controller's coming out and how you're relating to your coworkers, to your manager. Maybe it's the pusher. You recognize the pusher, and that's showing up in your home life, in your relationships. Yes, and you're right. They all have some similar overlaps. Dealing with my mom's estate, Kate. Yeah, finances. Great. Yeah, health can be one. Right? Even if like caring for health is really good, I notice that sometimes my controller can come out in my health to a place that can be wise, but then it can sometimes be a little too intense. Family business, yeah, work. Awesome. So over noticing, right, bringing our mindfulness practice. So part of a strengthening that we all just did in the beginning of this class of sitting, right, practicing meditation helps us strengthen our mindfulness muscles. And when we're strengthening our mindfulness muscles, we're bringing this ability of awareness, of curiosity, of what's happening for us in the present moment. And the more we can note what's happening for us, the more insight we gain. And when we have more insight, the more choices, conscious choices, we can then make for ourselves. So I really welcome you over the next few days to just even practice noting, where and how does this controller or pusher or avoider or spinner, right, this archetype, how is this showing up? What is this feeling like in my body? What is it sounding like? What shape does my body take, right, when it pops up? So just welcoming you to kind of pay attention to those little micro moments throughout the day where it might be arising. And I don't want to just leave you with awareness of overwhelm. I also want to support you having some more tools in your tool bag of how to manage the overwhelm. So I want to kind of shift slightly into a practice where we can explore connecting to our values and using our values as a really helpful way to anchor into our body, into the present moment, into what matters most to us, to kind of support us cutting through the noise of the overwhelm. So I'm going to walk us through an exercise on this, and then we're going to do a guided meditation practice on it as well. And let me just pause here before we get go into, and just, are there any questions that people have around any of these overwhelm archetypes or what might be coming up for you? Okay. So, with your piece of paper and pen, I'd love for you to take a few moments and jot down a list. Like this, and this is for your eyes only. You're not going to be going into breakout rooms or sharing this. Oh, let me pause. How would you describe the mindfulness response? What do you, Ronald, give me a little bit more. What do you mean by that? How would you describe the mindfulness breath? And feel free to come off mute if that's easier. Otherwise, feel free to share in the chat. And Mike, thank you for the question. I had Hodgkin's lymphoma. We'll give another minute. So as we might be getting more questions, instead of the six, how does mindfulness help? Yeah, so just to clarify, mindfulness helps us in relationship to the six different types that show up, right? So mindfulness gives us awareness of what type is showing up and or when and how is it showing up, right? Because when we practice paying attention, just like we did in the beginning of our sit, we can start to notice, oh, this is the controller showing up right now, or oh, this is the pusher energy showing up right now. And so mindfulness helps us be able to label and know what's here, what's showing up. And then when we get to name it, like, ah, that's the controller, we then have a little bit more space from it. So we recognize it's not just, you know, it's not us, it's not the I, right? It's a part of us, it's how we're relating to overwhelm. And then when we have that space, we then have more choice of then how we want to respond. So thank you for that question. I'm glad that makes sense. If there are other questions, feel free to keep them coming into the chat. We'll transition into this values portion of this exercise. And I want you to jot down, again, making a list. Feel free to design it in any way that makes sense to you. It can be bullet points. You can write a little bit more if that's how your brain works. If you want to draw, feel free to draw. And I want you to reflect, what would you want people to say about you and the impact you had on them? So I'll put this in the chat as well. But what would you want people to say about you slash the impact you had on them? What would you want people to say about you and the impact you had on them? If you asked some family members, some neighbors, some coworkers, what would you want people to say about you and the impact you had on them? We'll take a few minutes to do some reflection. Ronald, is there another part to the question? It can be in any situation. So it could be people at work, your family, strangers. Yeah, it could be exactly. You feel free to make your list as long as you want. So it can be all types of things. How you want people, what you want people to say about you and the impact you had on them. So feel free to brainstorm as many things that come up for you. Exactly, in all different types of situations. It'll take about another minute or so if you need. And then we'll start to explore kind of part two of this practice. So hopefully you have a big list of a variety of things, a variety of descriptors of the ways that you made people feel or the impact you had on them, what they would say about you. And I want you to look at that list, and I want you to, from that list, think about three values that come from that list, three values that seem important to you. So maybe based on what I'm seeing in the chat, maybe it's kind, loving, smart, educated. Curious. Playful, creative, adventurous, honest. Right, so I'm just kind of rattling off some examples of values. So looking at your list, I welcome you to think of three values that support that kind of that you can distill from your list. And if you feel called, feel free to share those three in the chat. Otherwise, feel free to keep them to yourself and your piece of paper. Beautiful. Honesty, compassion, curious. I wrote loving, playful, creative. Should be creative. Kind, trustworthy, funny. Kind, fair, clear-eyed, beautiful. So we're going to now do another part to this values exercise, and it will be in the form of a guided meditation practice. And really, the intention of this practice is that we can start to use our values as anchors when the mind gets overwhelmed. So when we can know maybe the pusher or the spinner is showing up, can we rest back into some of these values that you just noted to support you navigating through, to support you taking that maybe next action, or choosing your words, or not doing something, right? That our values can be really helpful ways in helping us direct our attention and our focus. They're really helpful in how we want to be showing up and what's meaningful to us in life. So before we go into this guided practice, are there any questions before we begin? Okay. So I'll welcome you to find a comfortable position. And we'll practice for about 10 or so minutes. And if it feels comfortable, you can close the eyes, or again, keep the eyes open and a soft gaze. And so I welcome you to imagine the overwhelm archetype that spoke the most to you, that felt like the one that resonated the strongest. And I welcome you to just kind of bring that to mind, maybe even noticing that situation where it's coming up in your life, at work, with finances, relationships. And just noting how that kind of feels in the body. Do the shoulders tighten, or the jaw? Does the mind feel heavy? And then I welcome you to bring these three values to mind. And I want you to imagine placing one of your values in your throat, one of your values in your heart, and one of your values in your abdomen, in your gut. And it doesn't matter which one is where, just kind of trusting where these values land. So for instance, I'm placing loving in my throat, playful in my heart, and creative in my gut, in my abdomen. And I welcome you to breathe into the throat, into whatever value you place there, knowing this is a space of expression, and maybe exploring what would it be like to speak from this value. And then feeling overwhelmed, What would it be like to speak, to share from this place? And then connecting to the value you placed in your heart center, this place of care, of connection. And what does it look like to connect through this value that you placed in your heart center? When feeling overwhelmed, what would it look like to connect, to share, to offer care to self, to others through this value? And then connecting to your gut, to your abdomen, this place in the body known for self, sense of self, place of confidence. What would it look like to express this value that you place there? And so no matter what's happening in the world or in the mind when it comes to overwhelm, knowing you can always anchor back into your body Anchor back into these words. And just noticing in your practice if you're particularly drawn to one area of the body, the throat, the heart, the abdomen. And if so, just spending a few moments here, breathing in and breathing out of this space. And gently just finding your feet, feeling your seat, and if you close your eyes, gently opening your eyes and coming back to our virtual space together. And as you arrive back on your own time, feel free to jot down any notes, any insights you have for yourself, maybe what you sensed, a feeling your values anchor into different parts of your body. Any insights you gained. And I'd love to hear in our final few minutes together, any takeaways that you have from this values practice and how you see the values being able to support you navigating overwhelm. For me, I notice that this practice is really helpful because it gets me out of my mind, gets me out of the thinking mind, which is typically where overwhelm for me lives. And I get to think about, okay, what's a loving way I can express, right? Because when the controller wants to take over, it's typically pretty spicy. She wants to dig her, you know, tighten her grip on the thing. And so I get to rest back. It's an invitation for me to rest back and think about, okay, how can I express myself from more love? Love for others, love for self. Yeah. Values and strengths can be anchors when feeling overwhelmed. Yeah, beautiful. Any other insights and/or questions in our last few minutes? I find that I'm able to help others with my values to help them cope, but I really need to practice my values on myself to be more compassionate with myself. Beautiful insights. Yeah. Sometimes it can be so easy to express certain values outwardly, but to recognize we too get to give ourselves and receive our own gifts of our values. Yeah, thank you for sharing. Connecting with values is powerful. Anchoring them in the body makes them feel more accessible. Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that, Barb. Yeah. Sometimes you can say like, oh, this is a value of mine. Family is a value. Friends is a value. Creativity, honesty, whatever. But if we're not embodying them, it feels hard that we're not really integrating them into our life, and not just through actions for others, but as was mentioned in the chat, even actions for ourselves. So thank you for sharing that. Well, if anybody wants to take the quiz that I created, you can do so. I'll share the link in the chat. And I also share specific mindfulness practices for each different type of overwhelm archetype to support the continued practice in untangling from that impulse and reaction that can be so dominant in our life, especially in these present times that are very overwhelming in a global sense. As well as a local sense. So if that feels like something fun, I'll put that in the chat. Otherwise, I love to stay connected. You can sign up for my newsletter at my website at wadeburrell.com, or if you're on social media, you can follow along on Instagram. And I also have a podcast that you can check out too, and all that information is on my website. And thank you all for being here. Thank you for your time and
Thank
attention.
you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. I'll stay on for a few more minutes if there are any other lingering questions, but wishing you all a beautiful rest of your evening, wherever you're calling in from, the rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.